97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for joining us. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
The new Chad and my partner, Bo Matthews. Bo, what's
present?
Happening? Yeah, what's going on?
Not much, man. Waiting for the sub-zero temperatures to come.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It's I actually am looking forward to a good freeze because it keeps the bugs under control going into the spring.
It does.
I'm not kidding.
So stink bugs, we found about three of them in our house. I don't know. They look like little like Star Wars ships, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even know where they came from a few years ago, but we found three of them and killed them, of course. Our neighbors, they said their whole houses, you know, they're all over. I'm like, what is that about?
No,
I mean, not all over, but I mean, they've got more than three.
Enough.
It's very true. We talk about, I've talked about this with Dave Murray many times over the years, that if you go through a winter where you never really have a deep freeze, the bugs in the spring are terrible. You need that deep freeze to kill off a big chunk of the bugs. So we need one good, and it needs to last for several days. It can't just be one night. It's got to last for several days. We need one good deep freeze.
We had a moth in our house the other day.
Moth?
We had a moth.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, because it's been such a mild winter. Doesn't need to go on for months. We don't need tons of snow, but we do need one good solid freeze that lasts a few days, because I hate bugs in the spring.
And that's why we left Florida, because, man, the bugs down there, they just don't die.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad news. I remember they said we had a nice home in Orlando and a lanai over the pool. Mm. And I remember the newscasters were saying, okay, the only thing you can battle these huge grasshoppers with is a 2x4. And they showed a picture of one of these bugs in the guy's hand, and it was about 2.5 inches long. On my screen cover for my pool, I had about a 5-inch long and big green, like a big capsule grasshopper. And I'm like, dude, you need to bring your cameras over here. This is how big they're getting.
Quit bragging.
That's definitely one of the reasons we got out of there, because nothing dies there except people.
From other people and meth.
I don't know. I think I could put up with it if I was in Orlando, but that's a story for a different day.
Mm. You're thinking Mickey Mouse, and that's all you're
right.
Thinking,
I am thinking Mickey Mouse. Yep. I'm going in
Look,
like 3 weeks.
He hasn't died either.
Yeah, that's right. All righty, we got a great show on tap for you today. A little bit later on, we are going to talk to our buddy Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman. He is going to join us for the end of the show, and then also for the podcast exclusive. Of course, we put out two podcasts at this show every week. The show podcast goes out on Friday. The podcast exclusive goes out on Monday. Get the podcast anywhere you get podcasts, but I would recommend the radio.com app, because that's the best place to get it. We're also going to talk to Virginia Cruda, our friend from the Daily Caller, in the next segment. And right now, joining us, as he does every week at this time, our good friend Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory. Aaron, how's it going, my friend?
Good. How are you guys?
Not too bad. What's happening at Southern Armory right now? What's the vibe in the store?
It is what it is. Nothing's changed. You know, inventory's still tight, and people come in and they're like, "Where's the guns?" And it's like, what do you want? You know, like,
do you have a bug problem?
I had a stink bug in the house the other day. We've only found one, and it was really weird. And I was like, hey, Jessica. She comes over and I go, see that? She goes, yeah.
It's February.
About? I'm like, well, I don't know, you know?
I think it's Chinese drones.
It might be.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, you know, we still got magazines, ARs, you know, handguns coming through. We just had a pretty decent Glock order come in, and most of that's gone now. So, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, Aaron, you know, we keep waiting for, it's kind of weird because President Biden has done so much in the first couple weeks. It's kind of he's kind of slowed down here recently, but you know, right out of the gate there, yeah, all of these executive orders and executive actions, but none of them really targeted the Second Amendment, and it was kind of, that kind of left some people scratching their head because you know he said that there was various Second Amendment issues that he was going to address on day one, and he hasn't. So I think a lot of people are kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop. In the industry, do you, as an owner of a gun store, or just from the contact from the people you know, when something is about to happen, do you get any type of heads up, like when the bump stock thing happened, when Trump banned bump stocks? Did you guys have any idea before that happened, or did it just all of a sudden, like if you had bump stocks on the counter or on the shelf, you had to throw them away? How does that work?
So yeah, I mean we saw it coming, and honestly, you know, we've talked about this before. It sold out, you know, ridiculously quick at the shop, and it was just like, all right, well. That's crazy. Let's see if we can get some more. And then, of course, you know, nobody's got any to be found. And they were never a big seller to begin with. But as soon as they started talking about whether
right.
or not
right.
you know, they were going to ban them, now everybody had to have them.
They weren't popular until somebody said you couldn't have it.
Yeah. And it's going to be the same thing with, you know, a lot of the things that they're going to want to ban. You know, they started talking about banning AR-15s and AK-47s, you know, under the Obama administration when I was, you know, 21, 22 maybe. And I went out and got one. So,
right, right.
You know, and I wasn't even in industry back at that time. So, you know, that's what you're going to see. You know, you're going to see these people go, well, I got to have one, you know.
How does it work? How does it work as far as like let's take high capacity magazines. You've already got some on order from a manufacturer, and then Joe Biden writes this executive order. Is that order just now automatically canceled, and you're not going to get them, or is everything that was already purchased or in the works, is that sort of grandfathered in, and once it's gone, it's gone? Do you have to go out to your if you have a high capacity magazine in the case in the store, do you have to go out and get it and put take it? How does it take an action right immediately when the action is written?
Yeah, it's going to be honestly, it's going to be depending on how they write it. You know, I was surprised that they went as far as they did with the bump stock, saying, "Hey, if you have this, your gun is now machine gunned, so you got to cut it up." I was like, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at what they had done, in the past with, as far as the magazine ban and stuff, and even, you know, as part of the assault weapons ban as a whole, the ARs, we had what they called, you know, pre-ban ARs, and the pre-ban ARs still hold value today in certain, states because they were manufactured before that law went into effect. So we'll get like a really old Colt in, and we'll not sell it in store. It'll go right on to the interwebs, and somebody in like Massachusetts will pick it up because it was made before a particular date, and that gun is legal to own in their state. But they can't go buy a brand new, you know, rifle specialist AR that we get in store, you know, like 10 a week. They can't buy one of those, but they can buy the old Colt. And the weird part about that is, you know, they can change the upper receiver. You know, the lower is still, you know, the firearm, and that was still made before that particular date. So it's just intricacies in some of these states just make no sense whatsoever.
I think the biggest thing that's concerning is that they haven't, you know, that President Biden has not done a move yet against guns. It's almost like this is the one segment that they're really doing their due diligence on to make sure they can write it the way they want it. And all of a sudden, it's going to be a headline, and you know, whenever it happens, and everybody's going to go, "Oh crap!" And because the first gun control bill that Biden wanted to push in the first 100 days was to make the gun makers and the sellers, Aaron, civilly liable for misuse of guns that they sell, meaning, you know, if a gun is used in a crime, an accident, or even suicide, it's not about a product liability issue or where laws are violated, such as selling a gun without a valid background check.
Yeah.
The problem is if somebody, you know, hurts themselves or a family member or something like that, then the family can sue that gun maker.
Yeah, now Ruger's on the line for the crime that was committed by somebody that used one of their guns.
You know,
let's talk about suing automakers that, you know, kill somebody in a car crash while I was driving this vehicle.
Exactly.
It makes no sense. But like I said, their silence on this issue is kind of frightening.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes perfect sense. You know, if I get hit by a drunk driver today, I should be able to sue Ford. Should be able to sue
Jack Daniels
if they bought it from.
Yeah.
The whatever alcohol they were drinking, I should be able to sue the bar, the bartender, the owner of the establishment, right down the line. You know, I should be, should be my right. No, I mean,
anything to remove personal accountability. I mean, come on.
And that's just kind of where we're going. I think, you know, the other part of that too is maybe a redistribution of wealth as an aspect of it as well. These gun manufacturers, ammunition manufacturers, you know, they're large companies, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, or more a year. And, you know, I mean, they're international, you know what I'm saying? You can buy a Glock, you know, pretty much anywhere in the world. And, same thing with, like, you know, federal ammunition and all sorts of stuff. I mean, this is just a worldwide deal. So this is a big industry, and they just see dollar signs. And I don't, you know, the reality is, you know, I don't blame, if I get hit by somebody, I'm not going to blame the automaker of the car they're driving.
Right.
You know, they could have.
Right, because that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, not to me.
Well, no. Unless the brakes failed or something like that.
Yeah,
or your airbag.
Yeah, of course. Well, right. Yes. That's it. Yes. Know. Agreed. Yes. Yes.
You know, and if you look, you know, like you had Ford Explorers.
Yeah,
back,
if the gun
know,
blows up in somebody's hand because it wasn't manufactured properly, then that's something you can go after the manufacturer about. Yeah. But if somebody is using a gun and breaking the law with it, then that's not the manufacturer's issue.
Yeah.
Aaron, only got a couple minutes left. I did want to ask you, kind of change the subject a little bit. Is there any fad right now? Is there any, is there a new sort of hot item? Seriously, ammo or maybe even like things like pepper spray and tasers, since guns are so hard to get a hold of.
So we sell a lot of pepper spray, a lot of tasers. We get it from Saber, which is right here in Fenton, so it's a Missouri made product. You know, I mean, it's, we're getting the thing when you buy like pepper spray from us, if we get it from Saber, that can of pepper spray came off the line, you know, with probably in the last 30 days. Like if you're getting up there kind of when we're getting low on our inventory, because we're going down there and getting orders probably every 30, 45 days. And it's literally, pepper spray has this life of about 5 years, depending on how you keep it. And when you get it in some places, it could have been in a warehouse for a year. And that was the one thing we noticed when we would go through wholesale distribution, is that some of the product we would get would already be a year old or 2 years old. And so we just started going right to the manufacturer right in Missouri. And, we order it from them down in Fenton, and we go down and literally pick it up.
Dude, you absolutely read my mind with that, because, you know, having a 17-year-old daughter who drives and works, and, you know, my wife is not the kind of person that is prepared to carry a gun with her in her vehicle. But, you know, she's very much, you know, make sure that she has her pepper spray, you know, her mace everywhere she goes. And so, you know, I have, there's a little can of mace in my daughter's car, in my wife's car, in my truck, in our house. You know, they're just, everybody's got one everywhere, but you never, you know, God forbid, knock on wood, you never really have to use it. And one of those things could have been sitting in my wife's car for easily 3, 4, 5 years. So it's probably a good idea for people to realize that and turn those things. It's not like they cost very much, and turn those things over. If they've been, if a little can of pepper spray has been sitting in your garage or something for 10 years, then it's probably time to get a new one.
Do they have expiration dates on them?
I've never looked.
Propellant. it's the propellant that goes bad.
Ah, I see.
It's not the actual product. So if you
yeah, and the one time that you would ever hope, you know, in your life that you might want to use it, and
I
then
feel it in there.
It fails, then that would be so terrible.
The thing I always tell people is, like, you know, your wife that buys that like huge can of hairspray, and then they get to, you know, they have it for like 10 years, and it they get to the end and they're like, well, I hear it in there, but it won't come out.
Yeah,
it's not that the product isn't in there,
right?
The pressure in there has dissipated over time.
Stab it with a screwdriver.
With
no, do not stab.
Throw it
with
in a fire.
Don't do that either.
I got my wife. Remington actually made one that was a mace gel or I don't know pepper spray, but it looked like a little pistol.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
It looked like a little pistol, cool. and I wish these manufacturers would give you an opportunity, whether it's in the store or whatever, to do a practice shot. Just to, or even.
Yeah, you have those, don't you, Aaron?
Yep. So actually, we do have the pepper blasters, which is the pistol I was talking about, but we have the training sprays. So if you've never, you know, played with pepper spray before, you can buy the trainer spray
and
spray it. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. I mean, I've gotten some buddies with it before. Ancha, somebody was like, what's that little blue thing? And I was like, oh, it's a training pepper spray. And poor Ancha, she was sitting there, and I was like, you know, watch.
Ancha's,
you know,
the German Shepherd for everybody.
Yeah, she's our dog, our shop dog. And I sprayed her with it. You know, it's just water. Like, let's just be clear. It's just water.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ancha looks at me and starts running away. And he's like, oh, is that hurting her? And I'm like, it's water. Like, I mean, no more than like her getting a bath.
Yeah. It's a great point, Bo. You should, you know, you go out to Southern Armory. Anybody, you know, you should, just like you practice with your gun, you should at least, you know what it feels like and how it, you know, how it fires out and how far it goes and all of that. And you can get those practice. Yeah, you can get those practice shots at Southern Armory. Aaron, we gotta wrap up. Remind people how they can find you if they want to buy the practice pepper spray shot or see what's on the shelves and take advantage of the things that you have before they are gone again. How can people find Southern Armory?
So we also have the pepper spray in the simulator too. You can train with that.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
So you get an idea. Anyway, you can find us at 9901 Watson Road. We're 1 mile east of 270 and 44. And Southern Armory on Facebook, Second Amendment News Podcast on Facebook, and SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
And that is the owner of Southern Armory, Aaron Tarlow. Aaron, always great to talk with you, buddy. We'll talk to you same time next week.
All right. Talk to you guys next week. Thanks for calling.
You bet. All right. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll check in with our friend Virginia Cruda from The Daily Caller on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with new Chad Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And, of course, Bo Matthews.
Hello there.
Big thank you to the owner of Southern Armory, Aaron Tarlow, for joining us in that first segment. Always a great conversation with Aaron. If you missed any of it, make sure you download our podcast, as I mentioned. Two podcasts of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors go out every week. The show podcast, what you're listening to right now, goes out on Fridays, so you can actually get the show before it even airs on the weekends and take it with you throughout your weekends. If you're going to be out in the great outdoors and want to take us with you, please do. And then the podcast exclusive we put out every Monday. You can get our podcast just about anywhere you get podcasts, but I recommend the radio.com app because the radio.com app is free. You can stream the station 24/7 on the radio.com app. You can rewind live radio on the radio.com app, and you can get this and every other show on the radio station's podcast there on the radio.com app. So make sure you are checking that out. In just a moment, we are going to talk to Virginia Kruder from the Daily Caller. And in the next segment, we are going to get out into the great outdoors, and we're going to talk about some fishing with our buddy Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman. And he's going to stick around for that podcast exclusive. So it's going to be a good long conversation with Mike, which is always great. Right now, let's go ahead and get Virginia on the line. Virginia Kruder from the Daily Caller, always great to talk with you, my friend. How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I cannot complain. So we were just mentioning in that last segment with Aaron that as much action that has been taken by President Biden in his first couple of weeks in office, suspiciously, the Second Amendment has been pretty untouched so far. I don't think anybody expects that to last, but it is a little... it is a little weird that, it was one of those things that he said he would address on day one, and he certainly didn't have any issue addressing everything else on day one. And so it's a little weird that he hasn't taken any action on the Second Amendment yet. Why do you think that is, and how long until that changes, do you think?
Well, a couple things. It's not really front and center. That's one.
Yeah. Good point.
Because nobody's been in school for, 10 months? And so there haven't been any school shootings, and there haven't been any, there's no crisis upon which to capitalize. And they know that they don't have widespread support, because you got people like Joe Manchin, who has said repeatedly he's not going to kill the Second Amendment. He won't do it. Mm-hmm. In fact, the last time I think Jake Tapper asked him about it, he's like, I went to the range yesterday, so I don't see, they know it's unpopular, basically anywhere outside of major cities, gun control is unpopular. So I think that they're trying to do the things that they can maybe get some bipartisan support for, which It's interesting that I would phrase it that way, just because they're already talking about using reconciliation and pushing things through. Mm-hmm. But if you listen to what they're saying, they do want Republicans to get on board. The problem is they want Republicans to get on board, but they're not willing to make any concessions to get them there. So it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I'd almost have more respect for the argument of, elections have consequences. We won, and now you have to do what we say. But this, we want bipartisan support, and then when Republicans come and meet, they're like, yeah, we're not going to do that, and then just go ahead with reconciliation. Like, okay. And so you've got Bernie Sanders arguing for that, even though it was bad when Republicans used it.
Yeah.
It's a mess. But I think also, but just how unpopular gun control is, I think, is the big...
Yeah.
The big issue, because
I agree
again, with Joe Manchin, people keep looking at, and I heard a really, really excellent description of him earlier this week on The Five. Dana Perino and Jesse Waters were talking about it, and they said that, Joe Manchin, here he is sitting on the fence, and Dana Perino said, have you ever seen anyone who can sit on a fence like Joe Manchin?
No.
But at the end of the day, he almost always votes Democrat.
Right.
And Jesse Waters pointed out, he's hooked up with Republicans a few times and now they think they're in a relationship. No, he's going home with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. The same could be said about Susan Collins.
With most issues, but I think that on gun control, I think they're afraid to push him on that because he's been so outspoken.
Yeah, and Bo, I mean, how many times have we talked on this show to people like Aaron and Jesse at Razorback and the guys at Osage County Guns? There's all of these first-time gun buyers, millions of them around the country. You can't convince me that these are all Republicans. I think there are plenty of Democrats that have bought guns in the last year or so, and have embraced their Second Amendment rights. And I think it's one of those issues that Biden may see, the Democrats may see more pushback from their own side on. I mean, Bo, do you agree with that? Because
I do, and I was just on a call before we started the show with a friend of mine. He said even his Democrat friends are worried about the silence of the Second Amendment, what's going on. So I got to tell you, I would hate to play chess against you because you're really smart and you plan. You're thinking ahead like a couple of moves about, you know, there's no school shootings going on, nothing to go. Look here, people, we need to do something immediately. That's like next level kind of thinking, but you're probably right. And now, you know, the conversation keeps coming up about the fence around the Capitol building with the razor wire. So Manchin can't sit on that fence for very long. And I'm not trying to be funny because I believe that fence is up there for a reason. And I think they know what it is. I think they know what it is. And, you know, anytime there's a horrible shooting.
I wonder about that fence because I was told that walls didn't work.
Yeah, well, I've got a fence on my property.
We've been told how many times that walls don't work and we should just shut up about it. And now we've got that. But yeah, no.
And Virginia, as you mentioned, we've also been told many times that reconciliation is no way and emergency action is no way to govern.
Right.
You know, and but you know what? That's not a Democrat hypocrisy thing. That's an all politicians hypocrisy thing.
No, they all do it.
Yeah.
They all do it. And they all argue that because what I want is actually more important, that it's okay. And they all, you know, but when I say it's an emergency, it really is one, you know, they're all. And the thing is that people can see that, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's still important to point it out because the more people see that, the better.
Virginia, what do you think about Joe Manchin? You mentioned him, and, you know, he has gone along with the Republicans on some issues. But like you said, most of the time, at the end of the day, he stays in lockstep with the Democrats. The times that he has voted Republican, he's never, in my knowledge, ever been the deciding vote. So his feet have never truly been held to the fire where his vote would defeat a Democrat agenda. Do you trust him to hold the line on these issues?
Not on many issues, no. But I do think he is not kidding around about gun control. I think they might get, you know, some peripheral things done if they really wanted to. Things like, I know they already pushed through like a bump stock ban and things like that. But something like that, I think they would be able to get past Joe Manchin. But a full out ban on semi-automatic weapons, no, I don't think he's going to go for that. And you might.
But are they going to try? That's
Democrats.
The thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But you might actually get a couple more Democrats other than him to vote for that, like John Tester, Montana. You know, these guys who live out in rural areas and understand. I mean, he's already bucking the Biden administration. Tester is on Keystone, saying, "Hey, I'm a farmer. You know, this is hurting us where we live." So I think you'll get a few Democrats. Kyrsten Sinema strikes me as a possibility as well in Arizona, who wouldn't go for a full ban. She might be like, oh, well, you know, if you're going to just restrict these high capacity things or whatever, she might go for that. You might get the moderate Democrats to do that. But I think Joe Manchin might be the loudest, but I don't think he's the only who would stand up against total bans and a complete dismantling of the Second Amendment.
My dear friend Virginia, can I just say this? State Senator Bill Eigel of St. Charles County is promoting a bill in Jeff City to preserve gun rights if the federal government adds restrictions. The bill, SB 39, and it's been featured. It's been about 10, 12 days since we've heard anything about that. Do you have any opinion or information on the Second Amendment Preservation Act for the state of Missouri?
The SAPA bill, yeah.
You know, I think it's an interesting preemptive step. I don't know. I'm not sure how it will come down as far as if they do pass a law. I don't know how they, because the reality is the best way to get rid of it is to challenge it, because if it goes back to the Supreme Court, we have a favorable court when it comes to gun control. And so you would really, yes, you'd want to put that protection in place in your state if you could, but you also want to channel energy into fighting anything that Congress does, because we have, like I said, we have a favorable court now. If you get it done first, that raises another concern. You were talking about forward thinking. My concern would be that they see that coming and they're waiting to make adjustments to the court before they right. try to push something that's going to get challenged and likely overturned. So that would be my concern, that it raises the issue, because they're all interconnected. It raises the issue of court packing and everything else, because they can't get gun control passed unless they first pull out the obstacles in the Supreme Court.
Do you know where the
Virginia.
Yeah. Do you know where the ultimate power lies, Virginia, with that? Like, if a state passes something like that, can it override a federal mandate, or does the federal bill always is always the more powerful one?
Well, it's a gray area. It's the same thing. Like, there's a federal ban on marijuana.
Right.
But how many states have legalized it?
Yeah. Great point.
Yeah, so you see issues like that, or it's the reverse of the sanctuary city policy, or we're not going to, and so you're always going to end up with, eventually it's going to go to court, and then the question is, do you have a favorable court, mm-hmm. and where are they going to come down?
Yep.
So are they going to come down on the side of states' rights? Or are they going to say no? There's a present danger the federal government can overstep. So the
it's always a mess, isn't it?
I'm getting. Is that Democrats would like to do away with federalism because they don't want states' rights.
Right.
They don't want local control, because any locality that has tried their policies on a small scale knows they don't work. And the only way to get what they want is to pass them on a grand scale before anyone can react.
Yeah, they want that ultimate power, one centralized location that makes the rules for the entire country, which, my opinion, does not work at all.
If you look at the executive orders, look at the scope of the executive orders that have come out. It's everything from health care to immigration. It's because they don't want Republicans to know where to look.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because
great point.
If you focus on immigration, you can't focus on health care. If you can't, they keep talking about walking and chewing gum at the same time. The reality is no one in Congress can. Whatever they tell you, they can't do it. They cannot. I mean, look at what happened last year. I mean, Democrats can walk and chew gum at the same time, and yet coronavirus went under the radar for an entire month because they were so busy trying to impeach Trump.
Mm, great point. That is Virginia Kruta, our friend from the Daily Caller. Virginia, unfortunately, we are out of time. If people want to follow you, what you're working on, your articles there on the Daily Caller, or just follow you on social media, what are all the different ways they can do so?
At dailycaller.com, or at dailycaller on Twitter, dailycaller.com on the web. You can find me at VA Kruta on Twitter. And I check out the main site, though, because there's a lot more great stuff from our other colleagues.
Are you shocked you haven't been banned from Twitter yet?
Yeah.
Just real quick.
Sure.
A little bit. I'll tell you what. I think I've had my own satellite since about 2010. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Good stuff. Virginia, thank you so much for your time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. All right. Let's take another quick break. When we get back, we are going to get out on the water. We're going to talk a little fishing with our friend Mike Marfell on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Well, I'm going to miss her. I get home. Right now I'm on this lake shore.
Yeah, baby.
Sitting in the sun, I'm sure it'll hit me.
Who is this, Bo?
Wait for it.
Okay.
Brad Paisley.
When I walk through that door tonight, yeah, I'm gonna miss her. Oh, looky there. I've got a
bite. Yeah, baby.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. And that is exactly what we are going to talk about here momentarily with our friend Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman. Thank you so much for joining us. Big thank you to Virginia Kruta from the Daily Caller for joining us in that last segment. Don't forget about the podcast if you missed any of that conversation. And don't forget about the podcast of the radio show and the podcast exclusive, because our buddy Mike is going to stick around for that podcast exclusive. So we'll talk to him here momentarily, finish up the show with him, and then continue that discussion on the podcast exclusive. We're going to be talking about fishing. We're going to talk about the great outdoors. And anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here on the show, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They are your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. Go meet Jesse, Brad, and Kenny on Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270, right next to the tennis shop. You'll see that, but the Razorback Armory is right next to them. Find them online at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
Mm-hmm. And now Mike Marfell joins us on the line. Mike, what's going on, brother?
Not much, man. Living the dream.
Yeah.
Working from home. Yeah, baby.
So what you...
I'm still on board, man. I don't want to go back. Hopefully they don't make it. We'll see.
So as far as fishing's concerned, what are you doing right now? Is this a time to
this
kind of
getting ready, baby.
Restock yeah. And get ready for the new year?
I got a tackle warehouse or some kind of bait box showing up about every other day. Just getting ready, getting rods out, getting line on, updating my electronics on my boat. Going out and setting in it, going through it, just making sure, you know, I'm going to be pretty light come the spring, you know, that early, early pre-spawn, late winter, whatever you want to call it.
Did you just say you don't need a whole lot of stuff? Did you just say you go out and sit in your boat?
Oh, I do. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In your garage.
I don't have cable, and I've never had cable for like the last 25 years. So when the Blues are in the playoffs, I would sit in my boat, drink Busch beer, and listen to the Blues games on the boat radio.
Yep. That's fantastic.
And that's why he is Mike Marfell.
That's right. Do you do you go out when it's cold like this at all? I mean, you know, we've famously talked on this show about as long as the water's not frozen, it's still fishing season.
Dude, I do. I haven't personally because I've been super busy with work. And when we get into it on the PowerQuest exclusive, I got my schedule coming up and I wrote it down so we could talk about it. It's freaking overwhelming. So I've been trying to get everything wrapped up around here so I don't have to get divorced when it comes to fishing season. But yes, the fishing's out of sight. A buddy of mine won. Him and his brother had no practice. They showed up the day of the tournament at Table Rock 2 weeks ago.
No
and
kidding.
They won with 25 pounds of largemouth. Two weeks ago.
Tony.
Wow.
So you don't think fish can be caught this time of year, you're not looking in the right spot.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And they weren't, it wasn't like they had 25 and nobody else had anything yet. There was plenty of 20-pound bags behind them. So, yeah, it's the fishing is really good. Now, today, you would be a miserable son of a gun out there. I'll promise you that.
Right.
Yeah, but the rain makes the fish bite sometimes.
Yeah.
It makes the fishermen miserable.
Yeah, as we're recording this, it's cold and rainy outside. It's not a good
Carl,
day.
Carl, give me snow and 15 degrees over rain and 45 every time.
Yeah,
all right. The snow bounces off of you, and you don't wear a wet blanket all day.
Bo, next time there's a Blues game on, can Mike just plop the boat in your pond and listen to it over there? Or is that off?
Well, he'd catch as many fish as from his garage. So yeah, sure, come on.
While this is airing, there is actually a Blues game on right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And by the way, how long do you think?
Yep.
Well, when the show is airing. Yes.
On both stations. Yeah. On both stations, the 2 o'clock recording. Games.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. That's funny.
Okay, so ice fishing happens in Minnesota, like, you know, by November. We're getting ready to go into a really cold snap. And it's going to freeze my pond and a lot of other, you know, small ponds that are around. But I wonder how long it takes, Mike, to be able to get out there on that ice to be able to fish. How long do we have to be sub-zero for that?
Man, I don't know the answer to that, and I'd hate to give it. But for me, a long time. I don't have any...
a month.
Any desire to go stand on that ice.
The way you find out is you go fishing with a buddy, and you have them walk out there first. And
yeah, right. Like,
you don't have to be faster than a bear. You got to be faster than your buddy. Yep.
So
I'll tell you what.
We got a lot to talk with Mike about. Unfortunately, we're out of time here on the show.
Oh,
but we are going to get into all of that. Yeah, on the podcast exclusive. Save your questions. Save your topics for the podcast exclusive because there is a lot to talk about with Mike. I've got a lot of questions about this upcoming season. Mike, before we go, if people want to hear more from you, you know, you guys got the YouTube stuff going. How can people hear more from you?
Ten Horse Monty is where you can go to find my buddy Gabe. I'm on several episodes. And also, Monday Night Live. You can find that. That is a separate form on the 10 Horse Monty YouTube page.
Yeah. You guys are still doing that?
They have different pros every Monday night where you can log in and ask questions.
That's excellent. So, very, very cool stuff. And 10 Horse Monty is T-I-N, like the metal.
Yep, 10 Horse Monty. Like a 10 boat.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Great stuff. That is Mike Marfell. He's going to stick around for the podcast exclusive, so make sure you download that podcast and hear the rest of the discussion there. You missed anything on today's show, make sure you download the podcast. You can get the Second Amendment Radio podcast anywhere you get podcasts. I recommend the radio.com app, though, because that is the best place to get it. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Tony Colombo for Carl Middleman
pew, pew.
And Bo Matthews. We'll see you next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
I'm gonna miss her on rookie day. Another bite. Yeah, I'm gonna miss her.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Well, I'm gonna miss her. I get home. Right now, I'm on this lake shore.
Yeah, baby.
Sitting in the sun, I'm sure it'll hit me.
Who is this, Bo?
Wait for it.
Okay.
Brad Paisley.
When I walk through that door tonight, yeah, I'm gonna miss her. Oh, looky there. I've got a bite.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. And that is exactly what we are going to talk about here momentarily with our friend Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman. Thank you so much for joining us. Big thank you to Virginia Cruder from the Daily Caller for joining us in that last segment. Don't forget about the podcast if you missed any of that conversation. And don't forget about the podcast of the radio show and the podcast exclusive, because our buddy Mike is going to stick around for that podcast exclusive. So we'll talk to him here momentarily, finish up the show with him, and then continue that discussion on the podcast exclusive. We're going to be talking about fishing. We're going to talk about the great outdoors. And anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here on the show, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They are your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. Go meet Jesse, Brad, and Kenny on Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270, right next to the tennis shop. You'll see that, but the Razorback Armory is right next to them. Find them online at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
Mm-hmm. And now Mike Marfell joins us on the line. Mike, what's going on, brother?
Not much, man. Living the dream.
Yeah.
Working from home. Yeah, baby.
So what you...
I'm still on board, man. I don't want to go back. Hopefully they don't make it. We'll see.
So as far as fishing's concerned, what are you doing right now? Is this a time to
this
kind of
getting ready, baby.
Restock and get ready for the new year?
I got a tackle warehouse or some kind of bait box showing up about every other day. Just getting ready, getting rods out, getting line on, updating my electronics on my boat. Going out and setting in it, going through it, just making sure, you know, I'm going to be pretty light come the spring, you know, that early, early pre-spawn, late winter, whatever you want to call it.
Did you just say you don't need a whole lot of stuff? Did you just say you go out and sit in your boat?
Oh, I do. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In your garage.
I don't have cable, and I've never had cable for like the last 25 years. So when the Blues are in the playoffs, I would sit in my boat, drink Busch beer, and listen to the Blues games on the boat radio.
Yep. That's fantastic.
And that's why he is Mike Marfell.
That's right. Do you do you go out when it's cold like this at all? I mean, you know, we've famously talked on this show about as long as the water's not frozen, it's still fishing season.
Dude, I do. I haven't personally because I've been super busy with work. And when we get into it on the podcast exclusive, I got my schedule coming up and I wrote it down so we could talk about it. It's freaking overwhelming. So I've been trying to get everything wrapped up around here so I don't have to get divorced when it comes to fishing season. But yes, the fishing's out of sight. A buddy of mine won. Him and his brother had no practice. They showed up the day of the tournament at Table Rock 2 weeks ago.
No
and
kidding.
They won with 25 pounds of largemouth. Two weeks ago.
Tony.
Wow.
So you don't think fish can be caught this time of year, you're not looking in the right spot.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't like they had 25 and nobody else had anything yet. There was plenty of 20-pound bags behind them. So, yeah, it's the fishing is really good. Now, today, you would be a miserable son of a gun out there. I'll promise you that.
Right.
Yeah, but the rain makes the fish bite sometimes.
Yeah.
It makes the fishermen miserable.
Yeah, as we're recording this, it is not. Yeah, it's cold and rainy outside. It's not a good
Carl,
day.
Carl, give me snow and 15 degrees over rain and 45 every time.
Yeah,
all right. The snow bounces off of you, and you don't wear a wet blanket all day.
Bo, next time there's a Blues game on, can Mike just plop the boat in your pond and listen to it over there? Or is that off?
Well, he'd catch as many fishes from his garage. So yeah, sure, come on.
While this is airing, there is actually a Blues game on right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And by the way, how long do you think?
Yep.
Well, when the show is airing. Yes.
On both stations. Two o'clock games.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. That's funny.
Okay. So ice fishing happens in Minnesota, like, you know, by November. We're getting ready to go into a really cold snap. And it's going to freeze my pond and a lot of other, you know, small ponds that are around. But I wonder how long it takes, Mike, to be able to get out there on that ice to be able to fish. How long do we have to be sub-zero for that?
Man, I don't know the answer to that, and I'd hate to give it. But for me, a long time. I don't have any...
a month.
Any desire to go stand on that ice.
The way you find out is you go fishing with a buddy, and you have them walk out there first. And
yeah, right.
you don't have to be faster than a bear. You got to be faster than your buddy. Yep.
So
I'll tell you what.
We got a lot to talk with Mike about. Unfortunately, we're out of time here on the show.
Oh,
but we are going to get into all of that. Yeah, on the podcast exclusive. Save your questions. Save your topics for the podcast exclusive, because there is a lot to talk about with Mike. I've got a lot of questions about this upcoming season. Mike, before we go, if people want to hear more from you, you know, you guys got the YouTube stuff going. How can people hear more from you?
Ten Horse Monty is where you can go to find my buddy Gabe. I'm on several episodes, and also Monday Night Live. You can find that. That is a separate form on the Ten Horse Monty YouTube page.
Yeah, you guys are still doing that.
They have different pros every Monday night where you can log in and ask questions.
That's excellent. So, very, very cool stuff. And Ten Horse Monty is T-I-N, like the metal.
Yeah, ten
horse
boat, Monty. Like a tin boat.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Great stuff. That is Mike Marfell. He's going to stick around for the podcast exclusive. So make sure you download that podcast and hear the rest of the discussion there. You missed anything on today's show? Make sure you download the podcast. You can get the Second Amendment Radio podcast anywhere you get podcasts. I recommend the radio.com app, though, because that is the best place to get it. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Tony Colombo for Carl Middleman
pew, pew.
And Bo Matthews. We'll see you next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
I'm gonna miss her on rookie day. Another bite. Yeah, I'm gonna miss her.
Get more at 971talk.com.